You are listening to RudolfSteinerAudio.com. If you are listening to the podcast of this, it is located at RudolfSteiner.podbean.com. Please consider becoming a patron. As well, there are two publishing houses, SteinerBooks.org in America and RudolfSteinerPress.com in England, who are the sole publishers of Steiner into English and have given me permission to do these recordings. Please consider patronizing them as well. This is a reading of Collected Works, Volume 27, by Dr. Rudolf Steiner and Dr. Ita Wegmann, entitled Extending Practical Medicine, also known as Fundamentals of Therapy, translated by Anna Moyse. This is Chapter 8, entitled Activities in the Human Organism, Diabetes Mellitus. The human organism evolves activities through all its constituent parts that can only have their impulses within the organism as such. Anything taken in from outside must either merely be something that enables it to develop its own activity, or it has to act in such a way in the body that the foreign activity does not differ from one of the body's own inner activities once it has entered into the body. The food human beings need contains carbohydrates, for instance. These are partly starch-like. As such, they are substances that develop their activity in the plant. They enter into the human body in the state they are able to achieve in the plant. In this state, starch is a foreign body. The human organism does not evolve any activity that goes in the direction of what starch is able to evolve as an activity when it enters into the body. Thus, the starch-like material developed in the human liver, glycogen, is different from vegetable starch. Glucose, on the other hand, is a substance that stimulates activities which are of the same kind as activities of the human organism. Starch, therefore, must not continue as starch in the human organism. If it is to evolve an activity that plays a role in the body, it must first be transformed. Mixed with ptyalin in the oral cavity, it is converted to sugar. Protein and fat are not changed by ptyalin. Reader's aside, spelled P-T-Y-A-L-I-N. End of reader's aside. They are initially foreign matter as they enter the stomach. Here, the protein is transformed by the pepsin secreted in the stomach, producing cleavage products that go as far as the peptones. These are substances, the activity impulses of which coincide with those of the body. Fat, however, remains unchanged, even in the stomach. It is finally transformed by the product separated off by the pancreas, and substances are obtained that result from the dead organism as glycerin and fatty acids. The conversion of starch into sugars occurs throughout the digestive process. Starch that has not been converted by ptyalin will also be converted by the gastric juice. If starch is converted by ptyalin, the process is on the borderline for anything that occurs in the sphere of the eye organization, as we called it in Chapter 2. The first conversion of what has been taken in from outside takes place in its sphere. Glucose is a substance able to be active in the sphere of the eye organization. It relates to the taste of sweetness, which has its being in the eye organization. If starch flour is converted to sugar by the gastric juice, this signifies that the eye organization penetrates into the sphere of the digestive system. The taste of sweetness does not become conscious in that case. Instead, the process, which happens in the conscious mind, in the sphere of the I organization, when, in quotes, sweet is experienced, enters into the unconscious regions of the human body, and the I organization becomes active there. In the terms established in Chapter 2, it is first of all the astral body which is active in the unconscious regions. It is active where starch is converted to sugars in the stomach. We can only have conscious awareness through a process in our I organization, which is such that the organization is not drowned out or disturbed by anything else, and is able to come fully into its own. This is the case in the sphere where ptyalin activities occur. In the sphere of pepsin activities, the astral body drowns out the I organization. I activity becomes immersed in astral activity. It is thus possible to trace the I organization in the material sphere by the presence of sugar. Where you have sugar, you have I organization. Where sugar is produced, the I organization comes on the scene and gives subhuman, parenthesis vegetative, animalic, close parenthesis, bodily nature an orientation toward humanity. Sugar occurs as an elimination product in diabetes mellitus. This is a case of the I organization coming on the scene in the human organism in such a form that its actions are destructive. If we consider any other region of I organization activity, we find that it becomes immersed in the astral organization. Consumed as it is, sugar is in the I organization. It causes the sweet taste to develop. Starch, which is ingested and converted to sugar by ptyalin, or the gastric juice, indicates that the astral body is working together with the I organization in the oral cavity or stomach and drowning it out. Sugar is also found in the blood. Because the blood contains sugar, as it circulates throughout the whole body, it carries the I organization to all parts of it. Yet, wherever it goes, this I organization is kept in balance by the activity of the human organism. We've seen in Chapter 2 that in addition to the I organization and the astral body, the essential human being also contains the etheric and the physical body. These two take the I organization into themselves and hold it there. For as long as this is the case, the urine does not separate off sugar. The sugar-related processes in the organism show us how the I organization, as the vehicle for sugar, is able to live. In a healthy individual, sugar will only appear in the urine if too much has been taken, or if too much alcohol has been taken. This enters directly into our bodily processes, not going through intermediary product stages first. In either case, the sugar process is independent of other processes in the human being. With diabetes mellitus, the situation is that the I organization is weakened to such a degree as it enters into the astral and etheric sphere that it is no longer able to apply its activity to the sugar substance. What should have happened to the sugar, through the I organization, then happens to it through the astral and etheric regions. anything which tears the eye organization away from its activities that intervene in bodily functions will encourage diabetes. Upsets that are not single but repeated events, intellectual overexertion, an hereditary trait that prevents normal incorporation of the eye organization in the total organism. All this is also connected with the fact that processes take place in the head organization that should really run parallel to activity in soul and spirit. But because this activity is too fast or too slow, the processes cease to be parallel. The nervous system is, as it were, thinking independently alongside the thinking human being. This, however, is an activity the nervous system should perform only in sleep. In diabetics, a kind of sleep deep down in the organism runs parallel to the waking state. As a result, degeneration of nerve substance occurs with diabetes. It is the consequence of inadequate intervention from the eye organization. Another symptom diabetics have is that they develop boils. Boils develop through excess in the region of etheric activity. The eye organization fails to act where it should. Astral activity cannot evolve because in such a sight, in particular, it can only take effect in harmony with the eye organization. The consequence is the excess of etheric activity that comes to expression in boils. It is evident from all this that a healing process can only be initiated in diabetes if we are able to strengthen the eye organization of the diabetic. The end of chapter 8.